Master Musicians Festival, July 16th and 17th in Somerset, Kentucky. Mike and I will be there. And Tiffany will be there too. Tiffany Finley.
I hope so.
Joining us.
I hope I'm there.
Well, I sure as hell hope you're there. Things might fall apart. You are the executive director.
Correct.
You just told me a few minutes ago. I didn't write it down.
Correct. I know there's a really awesome show at Red Rocks that weekend with Camp and Trampled by Turtles that I'd really like to be at. But
wow.
I know, don't go there. I was pretty bummed out.
I had tickets actually for, we'll just shamelessly plug other events, I guess, here. I had tickets for Under the Big Sky Fest in Whitefish, Montana that weekend.
Yeah, that one looked good.
That's a pretty killer lineup. So I'm going to sell them, though, because I bought my tickets way back in like 2019 for last year, and then it got canceled. And so I was like in my brain, like all that money has already been spent. So now somebody's going to buy them from me. And I'm like, oh, cool. I got money to burn now.
Money. I can buy beers.
Yeah. Well,
at MMF.
It might happen.
Yeah. A trip down to MMF.
Yeah.
Your gas money to MMF. Yeah.
Plane tickets. Thanks for doing this bonus episode of the podcast so we can talk about going to the festival and what all's going on this year. Give everybody a bit of a background as to, how the festival came to be and where we're at now, 28 years in.
28 years. It's crazy. 28
years. Man.
Yeah.
Would be 29, except last year.
Well, no, we count it because we're a year round.
Yeah.
Oh, 27 is the year that got canceled.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
28. Yeah. Because we still planned it. We planned the festival. We had it ready.
That's true.
We had sponsors. We had ticket buyers. That's the year it got canceled.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I bet everybody's excited now. You guys get to get back at it. The real deal this year.
Oh, my gosh. The energy is crazy right now. Just in our town. Just people talking about it. And, seeing me on the street. I mean, like, let's do it. Everybody's just so excited. Yeah.
That's awesome. No, we're excited.
The lineup is incredible. Man.
Lineup's crazy. I mean, I know it's so beautiful out there because we just drove through Somerset to get to Laurel Cove here a month ago. Right. And Mike and I were just thrilled when you asked us to come and hang out, and we can't wait to get down there. So I guess we should start. I kind of have a little order of some things. So why don't we start with as much as you know, kind of the origins of the festival and how things got going 28 years ago.
Yeah. So from what I've heard, I was 14 at the time.
Right.
But in
not executive director when you were 14.
Yeah, I was probably listening to like shitty music on the radio, I don't know what, but it probably wasn't good. But in 1994, a group of local folks here in Somerset got together to put on a music festival and from what I heard, I don't know if this is true, but it was to raise money for a guitar for one of our local musicians, Tommy Minton. Now, that might have happened a few years before, but it was kind of that idea to do something like that. And to, like the bylaws say from 1994 on, to bring musical excellence to rural Kentucky where it's otherwise not readily available. And if you think about it, 1994, like now you can go anywhere in Kentucky and it's like amazing musicians, right? And we have this awesome music scene. But back in 1994, that didn't exist. So some really cool people in our community got together and, were having music festivals before it was the cool thing to do. So Gabrielle Gray founded it, and she actually, after 9 years of the festival, left and she started Romp Festival over in Owensboro, which is kind of a fun fact. Uh-huh. Yeah. Up until like a couple of years
hometown
ago.
Hometown of Mean Man.
I know. Yeah, so Romp's really cool. So, we owe so much to her and that founding board of directors, because we are, they did set it up as a nonprofit way back when. So yeah, I mean, she started it. She did it for 9 years. And just kind of honored the masters in the music industry. Mark O'Connor, a famous fiddler violinist, was our first master musician back in 1994. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. So 1994 was a great year, by the way.
Yeah. So, yeah. Is that when you were born or?
Yep. That's exactly yeah. when I was
born. Shows your age. Yes.
Yeah. Coincidence? I don't think so.
No. No? Yeah, exactly. They were like, hey. So, you know, that's kind of how it was founded. A lot of communities, you know, some community support. And then I don't know if you want me to continue, but just sure. over the years yeah. after she left, another lady, Robin Baker Burkett, she took over the festival for about 5 or 6 years as a paid director. And so was Gabrielle. And from there, like it kept growing and growing and growing. They actually booked Old Crow Medicine Show right before they got big, right? So they booked them. This was the history I was told, but they booked them and then they broke out with Wagon Wheel. And like, I think even Old Crow tried to get out of the deal because they didn't book them for very much money. And they were like, no, we have a contract. And I mean, I remember that was my first year. Besides the Goose Creek, since I did know when Goose Creek played, I'd heard about it when I was in Lexington. People were like, I lived up there for a while. And they were like, oh, are you going to your hometown festival? And I was like, I'm not going to that. You know, like, I had no idea what it was. You know, I was like, I don't know, probably not. And then, but when I moved back to Somerset in 2007, I remember Old Crow being there, and it was all my friends from Lexington were like, it's so cool that they're coming to Lexington or to Somerset. You need to go. And I was like, all right, I'll go. And it was amazing. I mean, it just changed my whole view on music, and it was awesome. But I just wasn't where I am now, like musically at that point.
That's cool. Yeah. That was kind of your first taste of. The real deal, you know?
Yeah. I do remember going when I was younger just for, you know, because, but but that was.
Every fan of this genre has that one moment that's like, oh yeah, that's like when it clicked. I'm like, wow, this is cool. You know, that's cool that this festival was your moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And it was just like so many people it's like you're proud of your hometown because they got Old Crow Medicine Show, you know? Yeah. And then the very next year they backed it up with it wasn't a good year for them financially, but they brought the Avett Brothers in.
Oh wow.
So the Avett Brothers played on Friday night at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Now Friday night's more of the local night, right? So for them to play that time slot, we tell people all the time, like, you cannot miss 1 second of the festival because you never know who you're gonna see to be able to say like, I saw them win.
And looking through this lineup, I mean, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what it's come to be. Like, now we're like, all right, who all, you know, I could just rattle them off, the people we've had way before they got big.
There's a lot of, I'd call them like ticking time bombs. And here, you know, it's where it's like, come on, like, when, like, you just don't know when, like, somebody's going to realize that these people are phenomenal. Like,
yeah, it's not if, it's when.
And it's, MJ sitting in the middle, like, come on, you know, like,
Then, like, even
Abby Hamilton.
Abby Hamilton. But the day that Avett Brothers played, like, the whole buzz around was that was the day they got signed to Sony.
Wow.
Like they found out that morning that they got signed to Sony.
That day.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Huh.
Yeah.
Some good Master Musicians Fest folklore there.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun stories I can share with you.
That's pretty awesome. I guess something that I've noticed, just like, you know, since I since you asked us to come down, which again, thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely.
Like I said, we're really excited. Yeah. Something that I've noticed is like what seem how much, and kind of you've given us a little bit of a glimpse into it already, just how much the community seems to rally around the festival, and you know, even just, you know, businesses around the area and that type of thing. I just figured you'd maybe want to talk a bit about kind of the community involvement and some of, you know, maybe some of the sponsors and other things that help contribute to what you guys got going on.
Yeah. So the cool thing about our festival is that we keep our ticket prices so low. So you can attend, like at some point you can attend the festival from $45 all the way to $65, which is pretty cheap when you think about the caliber of artists that we bring in and the way that we're able to do it. Yeah. And the way we're able to do that is just by our sponsors. We are a nonprofit. Like the city of Somerset gives so much to us, and anyone from, you know, major sponsors all the way down to our friends of MMF level, they give, and or they do it in kind, you know, like our banners this year, a sign company has given us all our banners for free. Oh. We give them a sponsorship, you know, things like that. But it's just like, I can tell you story after story, like local hardware store is giving it, they're the official sponsor of our setup crew. And there's, you know, they're giving us our fencing and our zip ties and our duct work, you know, just everything we need to do it. So then we have our volunteers, which we've really, that's probably the 12 years I've been the president or director. I have really worked on making sure the community feels involved. So you'll see at the festival that our bartenders is our roller derby team. Like we let them tend bar. They make the tips. They help us out by selling our beer. It's awesome. Our local football team comes out Sunday. Like I'm 41 now. Like I started this when I was 29, like being the director. I'm 41. I don't want to pick up every single cigarette, but off the festival field, you know, because it hurts my back. So we give the, you know, the football team $500 to their booster club. They come out on Sunday and they clean the whole thing up for us. Wow. You know, it's amazing. This year, a new one that we came up with, we've always had a problem with security's kind of been an afterthought, but I was like, you know who we need to get is the Somerset Junior Women's Club. So they're going to do security for us, check wristbands, because I mean, those women are in charge and they're, you know, they're going to be very detail oriented, make sure people aren't getting where they're not supposed to be.
Keep everybody and, in line.
Yeah, but I love it because that's my favorite part is just like, if I walk downtown Somerset, people like will yell at me and be like, hey, Tiffany, who are we? Who are we getting this year? What are we doing? How can we help? Instead of being like, they, you know, like, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. Everyone feels very like connected.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's kind of a testament too to just the music scene in general. I mean, obviously right there in the community, it's so tight knit, but I mean, Mike and I got a taste of that there about a month ago at Laurel Cove too. Everybody's just in it together and trying to, you know, nobody, I was saying to somebody afterwards, I was like, I don't think I seen a security guard once. Cause everybody was just there to have fun and, you know, have a good time together, enjoy the music together. There was nobody was fighting, none of that crap. Like it was great. And it's cool. That's what you do in a small town too, is just everybody rally together to put on the events and make things happen.
Yeah. And the cool thing after all these years, it's more about like, yes, we are we're keeping that arts and culture alive. But now it's become a very big like economic driver for our town.
Yeah.
So the state tells us that we make a $3 million economic impact on that day and a half.
Wow.
And that's just the same with Laurel Cove. That's what they're doing too. But people are coming there. They're spending money on gas, staying in hotels, eating our food, buying a car, you know, whatever, and making a huge impact on our community.
That's awesome. No, that's great. I guess let's I want to talk a little bit about the lineup, obviously.
Okay.
And I'd like to know who you, Tiffany, are most excited to see.
Okay, I've got this.
You got
this.
So,
yeah, I know who I'm excited to see. Is that what you want to hear now?
Yep, yeah. I do, yeah.
Okay.
Tell us.
So, obviously, I mean, my favorite part is just seeing the local and regional bands up there and then, like, being excited about who else is going on stage. But I have to tell you guys, because I don't know if you're familiar with B. Taylor yet. Are you guys familiar with B. Taylor?
I'm
not sure.
Just,
I don't think so.
Like, I'm not. You know, you see an artist so many times and then, like, where you actually, like, click on them or, like, go listen.
Yeah.
And
well, she's not really.
Just clicked on her.
Like, okay.
And I think it might have been just because I saw her in this lineup. I was like, that name sounds familiar. And then I clicked, or maybe Jonathan posted something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I went, well, I listened to, like, maybe one song. But, yeah, that's the extent of it. She's new.
You have to, like, live. She's one of those people you just have to see live. She puts on a show. But we saw her down at, actually, her boyfriend's band was playing at Americana Fest. I was down there with MMF, and then Summer Sessions from Somerset was there as well. And he was like, if you see anybody you like, give them your card and let's do a video while we're down there. So I saw her boyfriend's band, and she showed up by herself for the video. And I was like, can you play? Like, you can do it yourself? And she's like, oh yeah. And then she just blew us away. So she has just become a staple in Somerset. And why I'm excited about seeing her is just the fact that she gets to play on the big stage right in front of the Wooks, and people's minds. I mean, your face is going to be melted off. Like,
all right.
She is rock and roll killer. I'm just excited about seeing her in that spotlight, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, totally Morgan Wade is going to be awesome. Like, the girls this year are the ones to watch, you know? Killing Abby Hamilton and Kelsey Walden.
I personally am most excited to see Kelsey Walden because I've never seen
her. I was going
to
ask you.
Live. And, yeah, I'm fired up to see Kelsey Walden.
Yeah,
absolutely. She's gonna be cool.
I gotta go with the Wooks, man. I've been listening to the Wooks so much. I haven't seen them live.
Can't
you know?
Go wrong.
I don't know. Steel Drivers will be interesting.
Steel Drivers too. Yeah, right. Damn.
Yeah, God. And I like the variety. You know, you got the Steel Drivers fan base, and then the Blues Traveler. You know, the Blues Travelers bringing people in that like may know nothing about the Kentucky music scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to witness all this amazing music. And that's really our mission. That's what we try to do. We try to bring you in with the big headliner and then
spotlight
smack
all
you in the face for all. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's unreal. Yeah, the list goes on. I will, I'll try to leave a link in the description of the podcast so somebody can click and view the entire lineup and the schedule right there. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure everybody's seen it on social media and everything too. Yeah.
And that John Prine set is going to be.
Yes, we should talk about that a little.
We should talk about John Prine and the set. Yes.
That's what we're going to talk about.
John Prine.
Yeah. We're going to talk to the Wooks on Friday. Well, Friday afternoon, I suppose, at 3:00. We will do a podcast live so you can come watch it. If you guys are coming to the festival, you can literally stand there and listen to us talk about John Prine with the Wooks. So that's exciting. I'm pretty pumped for that. Should be pretty great. And I hope,
and you know, we had John Prine right before he passed of COVID. We were probably his last Kentucky date, I would think. Cause we had him in 2018 and, it was just a very happy moment in the history of the festival. So, and the funny, you'll love this story, but our hospitality director, she was his runner that year. And she told me that he like borrowed her. He made her take him to Dairy Queen. As soon as he got there, he wanted to go to Dairy Queen. And after she took him one time, he borrowed her tourism van, the Burnside tourism van, to go two more times by himself to Dairy Queen. Is that not the cutest? So
the man loved his Dairy Queen.
Yeah, and you know that drive-through girl that, or guy or girl didn't know oh, that kid good. Had no idea who was coming wow. through and ordering a blizzard and chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers. Is that what he ordered? Do you know what he ordered?
I don't know. Chicken no, fingers? I don't. Oh. She probably
that
knows.
That sounds about right.
I think that sounds probably right.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I want to, well, I mean, that pretty much does it for my little list of everything. We did the, but yeah, guys, come, if you're going to be at Master Musician Festival, come hang out 3:00. We'll be doing that podcast with the Wooks about the John Prine set. And that particular set is after their full set and it'll be at 11. We kind of close things up for the night, won't it? Yeah, sure will.
Yeah.
On Friday.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's later. That's awesome. Super mm-hmm. excited for that. What a great weekend of music. Like, I'm just scanning over this lineup or the schedule again, and I'm like, you really can't go wrong with any of these shows.
You're gonna be running around.
I was gonna say a couple tough decisions to make, honestly. Catch, you know, conflicting.
Stages.
Yeah.
Well, we had it scheduled where you're only missing
about 15 minutes, but
about 10 or 15 minutes, so yeah. You can always see both bands. Start yeah, finish.
We'll see. Yeah. I don't know. Game time decisions are going to have to be made.
Exactly.
Keep everybody guessing. I like it. Put the pressure on.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, because you told us this story. You told me this story, I think, when you and I were sitting chatting at Lowell Cove. But about Messed Up Kid. By Tyler.
Oh,
the video on YouTube.
Oh yeah,
the
you were telling
famed
me that too.
Video
I was there.
That
yeah,
everybody yeah. knows on YouTube of him playing him and the Food Stamps playing Messed Up Kid. That's a yeah. Summer Sessions video.
It is.
I don't know if you wanna tell everybody what you told me, but
no. Oh, but the laugh and the yeah. So the history on that is I booked a little show at overlooking Lake Cumberland. We're in the home of Lake Cumberland. And Arthur Hancock and I were friends from a few years back. And he was like, you need to book my buddy Tyler. I'm in his band called The High Wall, because at the time it was Tyler Childers mm-hmm. and The High Wall.
Yeah.
So I booked him for that show, fell in love. So immediately booked him for Master Musicians, Tyler, that next year. He played it like, again, he played it like 1:00 on Saturday. So don't miss a band.
Yeah.
People are all the time like, when are you going to get Tyler Childers? I'm like, we had him.
Had him.
You just did not come.
Been there, you done know? That.
Yeah. So then right after I was working for the county, then the county judge executive, which is kind of like the mayor of the county in Kentucky. And I was going to throw a little festival, and I said, I want Tyler Childers to headline it. So my buddy, Nate Isaac, who runs Summer Session, that was like pretty much one of the very first Summer Session videos he had done. He reached out to me and he said, I've talked to Tyler. They're going to come do a Summer Session with me and you can come if you want. So that was probably a room of like maybe 7 or 8 people. But that laugh, I guess that's what you're, the laugh and the start of the video, I'm the person laughing at the messed up kid. Like, that's you know, because he messed up. Messed yeah. up kids messed up. Yeah. Yeah. One of the people laughing. There were several people there.
But. And then you thought maybe that was one of the first times that those guys had played together.
Yeah, I think so. Because when I booked him at the festival a couple of months before, they were not with him. It was actually Sonora came. And I remember like finding them a dog sitter. And you know what the weird thing is someone told me, they're like, didn't they stay at your house that night in your guest bedroom? And I'm like, did they? I don't, but they told me, I don't remember. I mean, that was
the
so
story
long.
Just
was,
keeps growing, you know?
Yeah,
you
know, it was like
how, that's how these things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 2014. I mean, who knows? The Counting Crows was the headliner. Like, yeah. Which is, I love the Counting Crows.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. St. Paul and the Broken Bones played that year, you know.
Oh, man.
Right before. I've got a great story about them, too, if we have time, but I don't know. Do we have time?
We got time.
Okay.
I'd love to hear a St. Paul and the Broken Bones show.
Okay.
Her story. Yeah.
This was very, like, a very pivotal moment in my life because I felt like I was, like, working super hard, always working, never enjoying life. I was never the one going to festivals, right? I was just like working. And I didn't say earlier, but for the first 11 years of me being the director, I was a volunteer. I didn't get, you know, it was not my job. I had a full-time job and I did this on the side.
Right.
But they just hired me a year ago. But anyway, so in 2014, I was just a volunteer and I was stressed to the max. And Counting Crows wanted to go on at exactly 9:30 p.m. And St. Paul, the Broken Bones, played right before them. And they called me and they were like in Bowling Green, which was like, you know, an hour and 45 minutes away. They had forgot about the time change. And they were like,
oh, no. Yeah.
And like, that was the number out of all the bands that year. That was the band, right? That was the band I wanted everybody to see. It was going to like change everybody's minds about everything, right? And I remember being like sitting there on the phone, looking out in the crowd. They're telling me, we're going to roll in 2 minutes before our set's supposed to start. Counting Crows was telling me, we're going on at 9:30.
No question.
We don't care what's happening. We don't know who St. Paul is. Like, we're going on at 9:30. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I've hyped this band up so much. The crowd's like, they only get an hour set. So like, what am I going to do? And I remember being on the phone, I was like crying because I was like the only person that knew what was happening. And I didn't even know how to tell anybody. And I looked out at the crowd and like everybody was just having the best time, just loving it. Like, no cares in the world. And I remember telling myself, like, I'm going to start living. Like, this is my time. I'm going to start living life. I'm going to be that person out there that's not planning things and you know, just enjoying life. But anyway, so they rolled in maybe 2 minutes before they were supposed to go. And I remember, like, seeing, I'm just going to go and say it, like, their little white asses, because they were changing into their suits behind the dumpsters, right? Like, because they didn't even have time to go to the dressing
classic
room.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, pulling on the suits. It was hot as hell. They go out on stage and they probably put on their best performance they've ever had because of just all the like excitement and, you know. And our crowd's very like sit in the lawn chair. They don't get up. They don't, probably besides the headliner, like, get out in front. And it's the first time I had seen a full standing ovation. Like, people, the old people, the young people, everybody got up and was just, it's the best thing. I mean, people still talk about it. It's like best thing they've ever seen.
That's the perfect band to pull people up and moving, though.
Right.
I mean, they put on just a show, you know?
Yeah. It was awesome. It could not have gone better. It was probably better that they were late because it just made their performance better. He like did the faint, like he was, you know. James Brown. Is it James Brown's that faints and everybody's like waving the air on him and he gets back up and starts like, it was awesome. Yeah. So that's probably one of my favorite stories of the festival.
Well, we're really excited. I can't wait to, Hopefully we are not the characters in the story that everybody tells for future years, but
or
I hope it's for a good reason, not for a bad one. But well, we can't thank you enough for inviting us to come to the festival and hang out. We're really excited to, you know, get out there on the ground and hopefully entertain some people a little bit and do the podcast with the Wooks. So pumped about that. And thanks so much for inviting us. Thanks so much for coming on the do this bonus episode. We can spread the word a little bit. And thanks for taking care of us. We appreciate it. And we're really excited.
We can't wait for you guys to be there. It's going to add a little extra level of awesomeness for the festival. So thank you so much.
Oh, I don't know. Well, we'll see. Woo-hoo. See what you say after.
Yeah, we'll see. telling this story for years.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks, guys. Tiffany.
All right. Take care. See you in a week.
See you all at Master Musicians Festival in Somerset, Kentucky, July 16th and 17th. And thanks for tuning in, everybody.